current.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. Then I am dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas.
Happy holidays, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Do you realize that we are less than 2 weeks away from Christmas Day? Who knows if it'll be a white one or not? I know in some areas you can count on it. Think of some of the big ski areas. Our friends in Canada will get a lot of the white stuff and parts of Vancouver if all goes well. We just had some wild white winter weather, and perhaps we're going to see some of that as we get closer to the big day. You know, it is always cool when it happens on Christmas, and I've actually experienced, I was thinking about this today, how many times have I experienced a white Christmas? And I could be wrong on the totals, but since I grew up in Philly and partially New York, the number that I came up with was 10, and that includes two in Dallas, Texas, where one, the one time the snow did not stick, but it definitely was out there snowing, and it was a wild, crazy snow, so it was very cool to be out in it. And then there was a Christmas where it stuck, and we had a slippery, crazy Christmas Eve, but I didn't have to go out in it. So when you don't have to go out in it, it's pretty good. Wonder if our friends in Australia, like my good friend Jack Alexander, do they have a white Christmas in Australia? Harmony says Southern Ontario doesn't want it. Canadians love winter. Who are they fooling? They love it. It's like living in Alaska. You live in Alaska, you know why you like it? You like it because there's a lot of cool sports that you're good at that other people aren't good at. And you're used to it. It's not a big deal. You don't understand why people whine about a little bit of snow in the lower states. And you're used to it. You know how to bundle up. You know what to do. It's no big thing. Coming up in this hour, pot kills, selfies are lame at Mandela's memorial, so is hallucinating, and the House, oh yeah, passes a budget. Plus, check this out, this is so worth the price of admission. If you have never heard this show, I want you to stick around through the next segment, and the reason why is because we have an incredible guest. His name is Mark Green. He is a doctor and a state senator out of Tennessee, but he is a bad dude with two D's in a good way. He spent the night with Saddam Hussein. He was there when he was captured. And wait till you hear what he has to say, his conversation with Saddam Hussein. And then he mixes in a couple of other really, really cool, cool stories. He is definitely on my top 20 list of all-time guests for America Tonight, and I figured that out too as well. I've interviewed over 12,000 people, so that tells you something about Mark Green, who I think is going to end up on the Hill, and hopefully he's going to be a difference maker on the Hill. He'll poo-poo all that for now, but I think he definitely has a career in national politics if he wants it. I mean, that is the key word. Does he want to be there. That's it. If he wants to be there, I think he will be. And maybe by then we'll have a third party. Who knows? And he's a Republican. Who knows what the GOP is going to look like then? Paul Ryan is losing friends by the truckloads. The congressman was the guy who was part architect of a budget that just went through the House and now will probably easily go through the Senate next week. So it's a bipartisan deal with taxes and spending, but what does it do as far as reducing the $17.3 trillion debt? It doesn't do much. It doesn't do much, frankly. $23 billion in 10 years. So nothing. They're not chipping away at that deficit. It just keeps increasing. Senator Rand Paul was one of the people who did not vote for the budget. He said, I can't support a budget that raises taxes and never balances. Nor can I support a deal that does nothing to reduce our debt. I agree with him. I'm sick of a non-balanced budget and the fact that we just can't even reduce that deficit. For goodness sake, that if you don't do it now, it's going to just get worse. And this is just added up and added up and added up and added up. Since I've been doing America Tonight, I think we started out, and I'll have to look up this number, but I'm pretty sure we started talking about a $9 trillion debt somewhere in that neighborhood, and now look where it is. And I can remember saying then, ooh, you got to get this under control. Ooh, this is like a gnarly beast. If you keep letting it grow, it'll get so big, and it's so hard to deal with. So Ryan has definitely cut out a few of his friends, Tea Party-wise especially, but a lot of other Republicans jumped on board and decided they were going to go with the budget plan. It does it will raise spending over the next 2 years, and then a $23 billion in deficit reduction over a decade is what it is. So it passes, and now it probably goes through the Senate right before Christmas. And it was like a landslide deal here, so it wasn't like he didn't have anybody on his side. There were definitely Republicans and Democrats who said yes to it. I think part of that was for fear of not having another government shutdown. Plus, Paul Ryan had the Speaker of the House on his side. Boehner just smashed the Tea Party and said, you know, this it's ridiculous. You've got to stop campaigning for the defeat of this. We have to pass a budget. We have to pass this budget. We cannot have another government shutdown, basically, is what he said. So it wasn't looking real good, and then all of a sudden it happened. What Boehner is saying is that the Republican Tea Party groups are misleading their followers. He's saying because they're to blame for last fall's political damage with a partial government shutdown, pushing people to places where they don't want to be, and having them lose all credibility. He says so many Republicans lost credibility because they were pushed into that corner. And then the reason they were doing it was to defund Obamacare, knowing full well that it wasn't going to happen, is what Boehner says. So the vote was 332 to 94, lopsided majorities of Republicans and Democrats voting in favor. Final passage next week. Next stop in the Senate. Hang through, we're going to the mail next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you frustrated with your current job? Not making the type of money that you know you are worth? Is it time for a change? Maybe it's time you considered starting your own home-based business. Autopilot Marketing has helped thousands of people just like you get started working from home. Whether it's an extra $250 to $500 per month part-time or a six-figure full-time income, anything is possible. You don't need any special skills or experience. Anyone can succeed with Autopilot Marketing. Take our free video tour and find out if this opportunity is right for you. Go to income16.com now. That's income, the number 16.com. Take our free video tour today and start earning money as early as next week. Go to income16.com. That's income, the number 16.com.
Tonight with me, Kay Delaney. Hope you and yours are safe and sound and wherever you hail from, whatever nook and cranny. We're going to hit the mailbag in just a second here on America Tonight. But first, let's go to Joe. Hey, Joe, how are you? Oh, Joe, we lost Joe. Whoops. Maybe he sent us an email. All right, without further ado, because I want to squeeze as many in as I can, so many of you send us your thoughts. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you very much. This one from Rick, and Rick says, Kate, I just cannot believe that the House approved the lousy budget that they approved. I mean, granted, could we really stomach another government shutdown? No. But are we doing ourselves any favors when we don't have a balanced budget once again and we have an outrageous deficit? No. I mean, eventually something has to give. And the problem is nobody wants to give in. Because now we're at this critical juncture where it's going to sting, and a lot of constituents of the people who are elected aren't going to like how it comes down. And so that's what it comes down to. All right, let's put a Band-Aid on it. Let's figure a way around this, and then we can deal with it at some other time. I mean, that's what it is. We're a nation of putting the pain off. And you know how it is. All of you have been through it. When you put off the pain, what happens? It multiplies. It gets worse. So that's what we do. That's what happens in D.C. And that's what this budget is about, because there never is a really solid process. Of course there's going to be disagreements. Of course there's going to be arguments over what should be cut and what should be taxed and how much of this and whatever. I get it. That's the process that you go through when you do a budget. But when your back's up against the wall and you have no choice, you have two options. Okay, we either pass something or we have another government shutdown. We are not going to get everything we want, and people are going to be upset about it. And on the other side, they're not going to get everything they want. They're going to be upset. So it's just a settling. But it's a bad beat, because nobody, it's not even about get what you want. It's about nobody really wins in this situation. All right, let's go to another one. This one from Tammy, who says, wow, just disgraceful what happened with the president and the whole selfie nonsense at Mandela's funeral or memorial or whatever you want to call it. I will tell you this, I am not a big fan of Obama's, but I wouldn't pile on him just to pile on him. I thought it was lame. You know, it's one thing if you're at a party. It would be one thing if they had this memorial service and then there was some other private party like the Irish people do. I love that, throwing the Irish people. Like the Irish people do, one of those Patty Murphy wakes. But it wasn't that case, really. One thing to smile and enjoy what's happening and what's being said about Mandela, but a completely different thing to sit there laughing and cackling and taking selfie photos. Yeah, it was pretty lame. I mean, that part was lame, no doubt. That, you know, it was about his life. They're heaping praise on him, and here are at this giant stadium. And it was a long deal, let's face it. It was 4 hours, and it started late, and blah, blah, blah. But still, all in that, I have to say there is this one photograph that I saw, and you know, they could have just snapped it at one particular moment, and they got Michelle Obama eyeballing, who was it that she was looking at? Eyeballing what's her name? She's a model. She's married to the ex-president of France, not François Hollande, who is the current guy, but she is giving these darting looks, and the whole thing of the UK Prime Minister Cameron and joking around and the whole selfie thing, and I don't know, seemed kind of lame to me. Just seemed like you wouldn't want to do that there. One thing to smile, like I said, even if they were having some chit chat. But I guess that's it. You know, that's the world we live in. They're gonna have a blast and enjoy the funeral. I guess it's about the party more than anything else. I would agree with that. I don't think it's piling on there. Forget the politics. I don't think it's about that. All right, let's go to another one. This one from Marcus, who says, hey, Kate Delaney, long time no talk. I wanted you to know that I am still listening to your program. I enjoy it. I've just been very, very busy. I catch it whenever I can. Sometimes I end up downloading it. You should tell people about the downloading thing. I think it's really cool. And I have to tell you that I thought that nonsense with the Mandela interpreter was so lame. You used to do Blunder of the Week. Put that as Blunder of the Month. How does he, in the first place, get to a point where he is the official interpreter for a guy like Mandela's send-off with all those world leaders there, and he's literally able to touch the person who's speaking, whether it's Zuma or Obama or whomever it is? Do they not do their homework or what? Yeah, it's incredible. That may be the lamest thing. You could talk about taking photographs and laughing and joking. The worst thing was the deaf signer at the memorial, who's in all the photographs. You can click it anywhere and see it, where he's signing crazy things that make no sense. Oh, go get a soda. Let me have a cigarette, whatever. Nutball things that have nothing to do with what's being said. So how insulting to deaf people. He apparently works for an interpreting company that paid him $85 for working that event. And he says he's getting treatment for schizophrenia. And he had an episode while he was on stage at the stadium in Johannesburg. And he says, and this is, this gets even worse. He said he becomes violent a lot, and he was hallucinating during the event. So they're maybe lucky it wasn't a lot worse than that. Can you imagine if he hauled off and did something crazy to President Obama or whoever was on the stage in the middle of this very important event? They were knowing that was going to, what was going to happen with Mandela. He wasn't well, and how many people were coming in. That's just incredible to me. That raises questions more than anything about the security for that event. He stood for 4 hours, you know, feet away from all those world leaders. The UN Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon. They're speaking at the lectern, and he's right there. Obama, Zuma, all those guys. And it, really, they're fluffing it off for now. I mean, they're just kind of just throwing it off as to, yeah, the African National Congress said they had no knowledge of his identity. And despite the fact that there he is doing the gestures on TV with the South African president, I mean, the deaf community, they are just outraged by the whole thing. But I think that what's really scary is the fact of how close he was to everyone. Then says, well, yeah, he has schizophrenia. Sometimes he gets violent. Nice lockdown there. Really way to watch those world leaders. Usually, and I've been at events where presidents have been there, and the process that you have to go through, I have to sign away my life. They have to check all of our backgrounds. So nobody checked his background. And it's, hey, let's do a little game here. Let's try some sign language and see if he really is an interpreter to make sure. And if this is who they hire, I mean, they don't check that. So he's trying to say that he knows how to sign, but he freaked out. And he's going to a mental health facility for treatment. And on the day of the ceremony, he was supposed to get a 6-month mental health checkup to determine whether the medication he was taking was working. Wow. I mean, wow. Truly, that is the blunder of the month. It is the blunt, might be one of the biggest blunders of the year. Coming up next, you don't want to miss this. We're going to talk with Dr. Mark Green about Saddam Hussein. He was there when he was captured. Wait till you hear his story. Hang with us.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited-time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified, super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283. An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
I love you, see me just like you. I love you, see me just like you. I'm just trying to make my way. I got a feeling that you can relate. A lot of talk, but you should stay. Can't you see the way that I'm flagging around?
Very excited about our next guest. I'll tell you what, Dr. Mark Green, he's actually a state senator in Tennessee. What a story he has to tell. You know, this Friday marks the 10th anniversary of the capture of Saddam Hussein. Can you imagine spending a night with Saddam Hussein while he was in captivity, guarding him? What would be going through your mind? That's what happened to Mark Green. So we fast forward to now and the stories that he could tell, and he does tell. He wrote a book about that experience called A Night with Saddam. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Mark. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks a million. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Did you ever think, let's re-rack this and wind the clock back, when you, first of all, you're an Army Ranger flight surgeon, and you knew you'd get into certainly some hairy situations, and you know what your job is. You're a doctor. You're trying to work in that direction. And I can imagine at times it was like a MASH unit beyond what I could even visualize in my head. Did you ever think that you would end up in the situation that you did with Saddam Hussein?
No clue. I had no idea that that would ever happen. It was a real shocker. And I honestly didn't think about it, that it was going to happen after we caught him. I just kind of went over to the detention area to get a glimpse at him. And the commander, the admiral commanding the task force that got him, comes out of the room with Saddam and says, "Hey, Mark, you know, would you go in and spend this first night with him? I don't want him martyring himself." I'm like, "Heck yes, sir. I'll be glad to go in." And there I am, you know, walking in to the cell of the captured King of Babylon.
Wow. And you go in, and didn't you have to, I mean, from just a normal task that you would do as a doctor, didn't you have to, like, take his blood pressure?
Yeah, in fact, that's kind of what started our conversation. I was just sitting there reading the Stars and Stripes, and he was in the cot right next to me and sits up and motions me over to take his blood pressure, which I did. And as I'm sitting there taking his blood pressure, Saddam's checking me out and I'm checking him out. and he goes, just out of the blue, you know, when I was a kid or when I was younger, I wanted to be a physician. But politics had too great a hold on my heart. So this image of the butcher of Baghdad taking the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm started our conversation.
Wow. And then he starts to, was it just a flood of stories? He just started just talking to you, right?
Well, no, I when he opened it up, I began to ask him questions, you know, about his youth. And I asked historical stuff. Tell me about the first coup attempt when you tried to come to power. And, you know, why did you invade Kuwait? Why did you go to war with Iran, the Iran-Iraq war? And his answer, he just flowed with the answers. It was pretty amazing, to say the least.
When you asked him about invading Iran and Kuwait, what did he tell you?
Well, probably the most fascinating historical answer that he gave me that night, that's really not in any other books, was why he went to war with Iran. Apparently, when he was second in command in Iraq, and when Khomeini was sort of second in power in Iran, you know, the Shah was still in power, so Khomeini is the religious leader. Khomeini flees the Shah and comes to Iraq. Iraq is mostly a Shia country, but Saddam is a Sunni leader, so of course he felt very threatened by that. He goes down and meets with Khomeini, and they sort of broker this deal that when Khomeini gets in power in Iran, of course the Shah falls, that Khomeini would cede some coastline on the Persian Gulf to Saddam, to Iraq, so that Saddam would be able to get oil out of its country more easily. Of course, the Shah falls, the Iranian Revolution happens, Khomeini comes to power and then ignores Saddam. Basically, Saddam told me that night, I went and took by force what was promised to me in a deal. Khomeini reneged on the promise, and Saddam went by force to get the Persian Gulf access.
Wow. Wow. Did he at all, when he was telling you these stories, I love the fact that you got all that historical information out of him in those conversations. Did he seem like he was, I guess sad is not the word, but did he have any kind of emotion about being captured and being in the situation?
No, I don't think that he had any inclination of what was coming, you know, that it would ultimately end in a death sentence. But he was very superior, you know, as if I were some, you know, underling just documenting history. And his arrogance was proved out time and time again during the interview. At one point, he asks us which way Mecca is and turns and prays, and he doesn't bow, which is sort of unheard of in Islam. You know, those guys are very reverent toward God. They bow. And Saddam just turned and prayed. And to the folks that I've spoken with that are Muslim, they suggest to me that Saddam saw himself as equal to God, and that's why he didn't have to bow. You know, but that clearly shows his arrogance or megalomania, I guess.
And once you got into this and you're talking to him, did you talk to him all night long?
Yeah, pretty much lasted about, 5.5 hours. I was just talking to him through the night. Saddam was very talkative. He couldn't sleep or didn't want to sleep. And about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, the commander comes back in and sees that he's very nonchalantly talking to me. He says, hey, we got to get this on tape. And so they run out and get a video camera, set up a video camera. Red light comes on. Saddam lays back down in the cot and pulls the blanket up over his head. End of interview.
Oh, wow. End of interview.
And then exactly.
And then as all of that unfolds, and then boom, there, you know, from your point of view, and you had seen it all, we should say, you know, I mentioned what you did, but as an Army flight surgeon, you were with the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, which is, of course, I know it as, and many of the listeners know it as, Night Stalkers. And basically,
right.
You were in the Black Hawk helicopters. You had no medical cross, and you on the helicopter, none of that kind of stuff. And then you were capable, of course, in that kind of a machine of firing, what, 8,000 rounds every minute because of the situations that you were going in. So as part of that crew and then watching what happened there, seeing the end of Saddam Hussein had to be like a surreal situation for you, was it?
No doubt about it. I mean, my life in special operations as a flight surgeon was different than most medical personnel. Most medical personnel wear a Red Cross and they go in as, you know, with some special protections from the Geneva Convention. I didn't have those special protections because I was, you know, I didn't wear the Red Cross. I went in as a shooter, and we would take casualties off the target on, you know, the aircraft was an assault platform. It was not a special ambulance. So I went in with the shooters to the target, brought the guys off, resuscitated or did, you know, medical care in the back of the helicopter while we flew to a hospital or a MASH unit. But, yeah, there was none of that. So I was accustomed to being like a shooter. Seeing him finally meet his demise, I was glad for the penalty that was served, but I honestly didn't like the way it was done. I think having that cell phone video footage broadcast to the world probably did a lot of harm, especially for the sectarian violence, you know, that occurred, gosh, about, I think, 2006, 2007, somewhere around in there, trying to remember when his execution was, but mm-hmm. That cell phone coverage getting out was actually bad because it fueled the sectarian violence and then precipitated the need for the surge, which came later and was effective, but it might not have been as needed had that video footage not gotten out there, because it was the Shia guys who hung the Sunni Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, wow. Amazing experience. And now we fast forward, and here you are, as I said this at the beginning, you're a doctor, but you're also a state senator. Do you have aspirations of going to Washington?
Well, my goal right now is to just serve the district that has, you know, sent me to Nashville, to our state legislature. But my goal is to just influence and to try to help our country. Right now I'm doing that by helping our state. The state of Tennessee is really in a good spot. We have the lowest debt per capita country. We have the third lowest tax rates as a state, if you combine our state and local government. And consequently, we have we're the fourth best in creating jobs in the country. So we feel like that philosophy of low taxes, of low debt, is producing the job growth in our state. I'd love to see that happen at the national level. And right now I'm just trying to, you know, help our state and be a part of what our state is doing to be an example to the rest of the country. If an opportunity comes to go hire myself, then, you know, we'll evaluate that. But right now I feel like I'm serving the country by making sure the state of Tennessee is run well and serves as an example to the rest of the nation.
All right, good for you. The book, again, is A Night with Saddam. Mark, we're going to look for you on that national platform. When you get there, you're going to talk to me again, right?
Absolutely. If that ever happens, we're on the phone. So.
Excellent. Mark, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system, and a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Remember what the day is all about, for whatever it is all about for all of you. And, you know, it's a time to kind of check yourself and think about last year and heading into next year. Resolutions, whether you believe, some people hate them. They hate resolutions because they say nobody keeps the resolutions anyway. We're going to do some fun rev. We're going to rev up the resolutions coming up before we hit the first. And next week, we're taking a look back at the top stories from 2013. I can't believe I'm even saying that. Wow. It's almost done. It's hard to believe. It really flew by for me anyway. I don't know about the rest of you, but did it seem like we just all of a sudden hit the gas when we hit the spring? Like, boom, all of a sudden, here we are, and it's Christmas again. Crazy. All right, so a couple of quick things here, some payoffs, some final parting shots for this hour anyway. We talked about how crazy, to me, the craziest story the last 3 days has been the idea of the interpreter at the Mandela event who was schizophrenic, says he was hallucinating at the event, was feet away from world leaders, and nobody had any clue. Let's scan everybody. Let's make sure this place is practically on lockdown. But, oh, yeah, the person who's standing on the podium who says sometimes he has violent episodes isn't even signing correctly, and he's there for almost 5 hours, making $85 for that 5 hours, while he is standing so close that he could grab onto anyone that was at the podium. And that is, man, that is unbelievable to me. He was hallucinating at the event. Yeah, hallucinating. And you might feel like you're hallucinating when you hear that the budget was passed. Yes, the House overwhelmingly said, we're going to do it for 2 years. Now it's up to the Senate. They should rubber stamp it because of the numbers. The House had an avalanche of Republicans who jumped on board. Key thing here that's missing, I think, not enough cuts. I mean, we're still back to the same thing. We're taxing, but we're not cutting, and we don't have a balanced budget, and we're talking about a $17.3 trillion debt that's only going to get higher. Cutting $23 billion in 10 years is not going to work. Who was it that said it was like putting lipstick on a pig? Somebody who ran for president, VP. You know her. And to steal her phrase, that's what it's like, and it's what keeps happening. You know, the feds are considering the cell phones on flights. They're considering having that. But then they're saying no calls. So first it's like, oh, yeah, everybody can make calls when they're out there on the flights. And then now they're saying, well, no, they couldn't do calls, but they could send texts and that kind of stuff and check the web when you're at, like, 10,000 feet. Forget the call thing. And the reason that happened is because originally they were saying, okay, we're gonna allow cell phones on flights. We're gonna take a vote on it. We're gonna make this whole thing pass. And then people started to complain. See, there is power in numbers. If you complain enough, something happens. Because can you imagine people talking on the cell phones? It'd be like being in a cocktail lounge or something. And you know people would do it. There'd be someone laughing hysterically in the phone. They'd be re-racking what happened in their teenage years or what stupid story happened at work that had, you know, no significance of anything, and you can't hear the other. It'd just be ridiculous. It's like the first time I remember when cell phones were starting to get popular, I lived in Las Vegas, and I would go to the market, which was always a great scene because you'd see regular-looking people. Then you'd see, like, showgirls. They were bombshells, and you knew they were showgirls because they had legs that could have touched the ceiling, and they were walking around in platform shoes, or strippers, I don't know, and everybody was on the cell phone, and you'd just hear the craziest, you couldn't help it, you'd hear all these crazy stories. You're just trying to get some meat at the market. Just give me some bologna, and I have to hear this going up and down the aisles. And finally they put a sign up, because people weren't even going through the lines very fast, put the cell phones away. And it really infuriated a lot of people, and they had to take the sign down eventually. But I thought it was great, because then your line would get clogged up because people were talking on the phone again, and always that cackling. Like, it's like the funniest joke they ever heard, and they're doubled over while people are lining up behind you to try to get through the line. So on a plane, I think that would have led to so many problems. And enough people complained that they wanted to clarify, but they weren't going to do that and roll back the idea that, okay, well, so you can text, but forget getting on the phone, because that would be no good, no way, no how. I don't think so. How about this? So you get pot in Colorado, but do you know what to do with the pot? Do you know what kind of strain of pot you have? You know, when they grow pot, there's all kinds of varieties of it. That's no shock. It's a plant, right? So in Denver, there's a story that synthetic marijuana, they think, got over 200 people sick in a month-long outbreak. This is what you get. You legalize marijuana, there's a whole bunch of other things that happen. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they're doing an investigation with state health officials to try to figure out what it is, because there's all of a sudden all these emergency room visits by people who use synthetic pot, and they found a couple of different strains of it now, and they had an outbreak like that in Georgia. Of course, that was illegal. The real marijuana is legal in Colorado. Synthetic marijuana, which, by the way, is dried plant material sprayed with synthetic stuff, and carbinoids is what it is illegal. And they're trying to ban it, but it's hard to keep up with the whole chemical thing. It first actually started to crop up in 2009. They call it spice. They call it spice. So, and it can be deadly. It can be deadly because people all of a sudden have this, their blood pressure spikes and they become freaky agitated. And that's how they do tests, and that's how they find out what, the fact that it was synthetic pot. So like I said, they ushered in a whole bunch of problems they were not thinking about beforehand. How about that? And then there's this last story, Times Square. If you've ever been to New York City, and this is a popular time to go to New York City, it's one of the things you do is you go to Times Square, and people are walking around, and it's crazy, and all kinds of things are happening there. They're saying that the NYPD is getting an arsenal of security ready. Not so much they're not worried about New Year's Eve, but they're worried about packages, bombs, any of that kind of stuff, detection things, because the Super Bowl is going to be there, and they're doing the Super Bowl Boulevard, which is going to be a theme park where they'll have all kinds of attractions and all that kind of stuff on Times Square. So starting at midnight on January 26th, and through February 1st, it's on lock, you know, they'll lock it down. So they have to have a lot of security there. A lot of police officers are going to have to patrol the area because they think they're going to have, you know, maybe 150,000 people that will be there. Some people go to those parties and then they don't actually go to the game because there's a whole week long of all kinds of things happening, all kinds of parties, all kinds of events. And so this will be a big one. It'll be a huge one. They're saying there's going to be fireworks on the Hudson River, and so you're going to see all kinds of traffic. And so there's big concern over, of course, security. It's New York, and we know that they're always worried about that anyway, that they're a target and that whatever nut, homegrown or otherwise, they know it's a big crowd. And when in big crowds, we see what can often happen. You got to be looking around and watching. So they're doubling up on the amount of people that are going to patrol that area because it's just too risky for the fact that someone might dump something on the sidewalk or do something else. Too bad we have to worry about those kind of things, isn't it? But you know, that's life these days. Since 9/11, really, even prior to 9/11, we had to think about it. Once again, any thoughts on the show, you know what you can do, because I've had a lot of people ask me this. Send them to me. The address is americatonight.net, americatonight.net. If you go to americatonight.com, it'll be like those women that I saw in the grocery stores. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at Utopia Silver hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.